Glad to see everyone in the church on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. The sermon title this morning is, and this is a first part of this series of sermons about the same theme, namely the life-giving presence of the Holy Spirit. I almost hear some of you saying that, okay, that is something I would like to hear more about. Namely, I'm not quite sure how courageous we are in the Methodist Church to say hardly anything about the Holy Spirit, because we believe we can leave it for the Pentecostals or the charismatic movement. Let them take care of him, so we try to handle something else. Now, that's a wrong call right there, because Holy Spirit is for all Christians, despite of our denominational affiliations. As a matter of fact, our church father, John Wesley, was very big in the doctrine of Holy Spirit. And he didn't hesitate to ask his fellow church members or fellow leaders that, have you experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit today? Not just 10 years ago, 50 years ago, 15 years ago. Why are we asking this morning? Why it's so critically important that there's life-giving presence of the Holy Spirit among us in the church? Because many times we hear people saying, you and I may be included time to time, how to get closer to God? Preacher, tell me how to get closer to God. How can I get closer to God? You hear people encouraging you and encouraging us to get closer to God, then you said, well, how can I get closer to God? And there are many things in your life giving you a little hint, idea that I may not be there where I'm supposed to be, where I should be. Close to Jesus, close to Christ, as close as I can. How to feel God's presence? How to feel his presence. And if we don't have these two, guess what was going to happen? Our Christian life becomes very dry. Again, I almost hear some of you say, preacher, I know everything about that. I've been there for quite some time. My Christian life is dry. Or boring. Full of ordinary, something that I know it's good to do, and I keep on doing as much as I can, but being honest with you, preacher, I don't get much out of it. And then when you are in this situation, that situation, you start looking around, who am I to blame for all this? Then you start finding all the problems and mistakes other people are making, so that's where you spend all your time. How to get closer to God is a key question to every Christian believer for us this morning here. How to experience God's presence? Some of you have been following Christ for a long time. You've been attending church, a church or churches. Yet sometimes you find yourself, maybe even this morning, asking this very question, how can I get closer to God? How can I get closer to Jesus? Especially living in the circumstances where we people live, having challenges and hard times, and maybe there's illness in your family, in your life, or some other troubles that really makes you asking, how can I get closer to Jesus who can help me? Now, did you know that God has already answered to this question? There's such a thing, this is reality, there is such a thing that life-giving presence of the Holy Spirit. This is why in the Methodist Church you hear the leader of the service asking at the very beginning, come Holy Spirit, come upon us this morning. Because without him, there's no worship. There's no preaching. There is no singing. There's no prayers. without life-giving presence of the Holy Spirit. It's all formality. And that's why we get tired of it. The Bible says on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, which is to say that they were having a church service. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them ability. So there was a visible sign of these people being filled by the Holy Spirit, by the life-giving presence of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus knew, of course, that early Christians, they needed the presence of the Holy Spirit, the life-giving presence of the Holy Spirit, because he says, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father send you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit. When you've been baptized, you know you have been baptized. Okay? We are working on a few baptisms soon here in the church. So we are going to see what baptism is all about. And then Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will receive power by the life-giving presence of the Holy Spirit. And you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. When you have Holy Spirit in you, upon you, around you, you can't help it. You start telling people about Christ. You start seeing your surroundings, your environment, your neighborhood, your family as a mission field you've been sent for. You start proclaiming the powerful things of Christ among wherever you live. Holy Spirit and the means of grace. Means of grace. Means of grace is the subject or the word or the theme that we use in the Methodist tradition a lot. What is the means of grace? The means of grace are spiritual disciplines. They are channels through which Holy Spirit bestows his presence to us. They are ways for Holy Spirit to come into our lives, into our heart. Our church, where Father John Wesley saw it, that in the Bible, God has, hear this, ordained. If God has ordained something, it's permanent, am I right? God has ordained to us certain means of grace, certain ways of grace to come upon us. And through these means of grace, through these spiritual disciplines, we keep connected with the Holy Spirit. Wow, God has answered to our problem already. How to get closer to him? By offering his grace through the means, through the channels, through the instruments of Holy Spirit. To my knowledge, in the Bible, there is at least the following means of grace that enables God's Holy Spirit to minister us and to fill us. First one is prayer. Prayer. Second one is the Bible that we have heard this morning about. Important to read and study and to learn. Then the two sacraments, water baptism and Holy Communion, Lord's Supper or Holy Eucharist that we are able to receive this morning. Then there is Christian conferencing, which is Bible study, learning together, teaching one another, encouraging one another in Christian faith, praying for one another, Christian conferencing, having interacting with your Christian friends. And then there is the famous thing that we preach so often and you get excited, namely fasting. I hear you saying, yeah, Pastor, that's me right there. Fasting or practicing abstinence. Saying no for a moment for your bodily needs, and saying yes all the spiritual needs. Saying no to sandwich at least one time, and saying yes to Jesus and Holy Spirit to minister. Putting that time, spending that time you would eat your lunch once in a while for prayer and reading the Word of God. Of course, water baptism and Holy Communion are the two sacraments in the Protestant tradition, in the Methodist tradition, as we know. And the word sacrament comes from Latin, from a Latin word that means pledge or oath. Pledge or oath. For example, our church father, John Wesley, believed that prayer needs to be seen as a main means of grace, main channel for the Holy Spirit to bestow God's grace upon us. When you pray, you are interplaying with the Holy Spirit. Your channels, your heart is open for the Holy Spirit to minister to you. When you pray, it is not just you asking things from God, but it is you enabling God to minister to you as you pray for somebody else. When you pray, Holy Spirit strengthen you, empower you, speak to you. May be that you start praying for something very special, very particular. And then all of a sudden you find out that I didn't even remember to pray for this, but I've been having good time with the Holy Spirit because I feel that He's been settling all my scores that I'm having because I am in this life-giving presence of the Holy Spirit as I pray. Prayer is the first step to draw you closer to God. When you pray, you are bringing yourself closer to Jesus. Because you pray your Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus. And when you call upon this name, Jesus, everyone in the heaven pay attention. And you see the Archangel Michael say, guys, be quiet. Let's listen to this sister, this brother is praying. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon you and He starts ministering to you. When you pray, prayer is the first step drawing close to God. Are you praying? Are you praying? Do you get together with your family once in a while and say, let's just pray a little while? Or when your friends come over, instead of having fellowship, which is so very important, you say, what about if we spend 5 minutes in prayer, 10 minutes in prayer, so we can pray together? Praying in. It becomes your habit. It becomes your way to draw yourself to Christ when you pray. Or church, before we make these decisions, important decisions, we should have courage to say, hey, let's not make any decisions yet. Let's spend a moment in prayer. Let's just take this to the Lord and see what He says. Prayer is the first step in receiving the Holy Spirit. Jesus asked His first followers to stay together in prayer so that they can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When you go home today, sometimes today, this is what you ought to be praying. Lord, I want to be filled by the Holy Spirit again. Really, again. Prayer is not intended to be some kind of complex thing at all. Actually, it's pretty easy because anybody can pray anytime in any place. God wants it to be joyous, interplay between our spirit and the Holy Spirit. I am with you. I'm being there myself. You say, well, you're a preacher. I guess you pray all the time. No, sometimes I'm having a hard time like you to get into prayer because I feel I need to be doing things instead of being something. Guess what? In this business, you can hardly do nothing without being something. You've got to be something first before you do something. God is not hiding from us, even though sometimes we have difficulty discerning the divine, His divine presence. God is person, is a person. Holy Spirit is a person, not just some kind of power effect. Prayer is the wonderful gift that enables us to know God and to communicate with the Holy Spirit and to draw ourselves closer to Jesus Christ when you pray, when you pray. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29, 13 through 14, when you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord. There's so much more that I can say about prayer. There's laying on of hands that we practice here in the Methodist Church, praying for the sick, praying for you, praying for unspoken matters, prayer and laying on of hands. Greek keratonia means laying on of hands. When you pray for healing or when you set apart somebody, you confirm something or you are blessing or in the ordinations, we do that. Now, then there is Holy Communion. Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, the Holy Eucharist that is available for us today. And there's so much we can say about that. That is a God-given permanent means of grace, the sacrament for us to draw closer to Jesus Christ. In the Wesleyan tradition, we understand Holy Communion to be a sacrament. Sacrament along with water baptism. It is a means of grace by which God counters us, works in us, and sustains us in mercy and love. Here's the thing, when you receive the sacrament today, you are not going to go back to your seat without changing. You change. You have received more than one blessing. You have received grace upon grace. There are spiritual channels for the Holy Spirit. Communion is a spiritual channel for the Holy Spirit to fill us and minister us and empower us. Yes, you are right. We can explain in and out what happened when you participate in the sacrament. In our tradition, as we understand the Bible, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Communion is the real, please hear this, it's the real presence of Christ. It's the real presence of Christ. It is not just some kind of picture of or metaphor about Christ being close to you, but it's the real presence of Christ. And I don't want to go deeper in explaining whether we believe it's a transubstantiation or consubstantiation. They are theological words, and I don't think we need to go too deep on that. We just know that to the elements of bread and wine, listen to this, as you receive the bread and you receive the cup, you receive the real presence of Christ. You can hardly be closer to Jesus in this life than you are at that very moment. When you receive His very body and His blood that's been shed for you, and He says, I love you. I'm going to take it from here. You belong to me. by his own choice, the risen Christ is truly present whenever Lord's Supper is observed. Don't never miss the Holy Sacrament, because you are missing a lot if you do that. And this makes Lord's Supper a powerful means of grace. As we think about the place of the Lord's Supper in our spiritual formation, in our church services, we can easily be moved to act of rededication as we participate in the central act of worship as we participate today. This is God's given channel and instrument for us to draw closer to Christ. And there is nothing you can't make yourself better to participate. I have heard sometimes people saying, "Oh, Timo, I got to work on some matters and issues first before I can take communion. I got to get better. I got to understand more about what it means before I participate in the sacrament." You are missing the point, my friend, if you do that. You are missing the point. It is the grace of God coming to you as Christ come to you, reaching out for you, even for you and even for me, saying, "This I have done for you." You are approved, you are accepted as you are. Look at the cross, it's empty. I did it for you. Here's my witness, my body and my blood for you. This is a gift. Take it, receive it, and be changed. Come close to me as I have come close to you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.